In the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil then took Jesus up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from Jesus until an opportune time. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And may we this day and always be guided by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So as we are on our journey to the cross this Lent, we are tempted. Pastor Norman Robertson highlights that playwright Oscar Wilde once jokingly remarked, "I can resist almost anything except temptation." Most of us can relate to such a statement. Temptation is all around, and many of us actually struggle with one or more temptations. Now, temptation itself is not a sin, but how we respond is what's important. In James, the first chapter, we hear these words, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one, when by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death." How many of you know the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer? You know it. "Lead us not into temptation." Very good. And then, as we look at our catechisms, we see Martin Luther reminding us, of course, that God tempts no one. God doesn't tempt us. Luther goes on to say in his explanation of this petition in the Lord's Prayer, "We pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, our sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice." Although we are attacked by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. "Lead us not into temptation, Lord. Keep us and guard us. Protect us from the devil and all the evil schemes this world has to offer." But then dessert comes. Oh, dessert. "Yes, please, I will have another slice of that beautiful German chocolate cake. Thank you very much. Or how many of you go through the drive-thru? Okay, well, you're pretty good people. You're eating well in the neighborhood. But if you go through the drive-thru, they'll say to you something to the effect of, do you want to ginormousize that for a dollar more? And you're like, yeah, a dollar more, I can have 75,000 more French fries and a 95-ounce big gulp-sized drink. You guys don't have 7-Eleven around here. They have the big gulp is. But anyway, you biggie size, and you say, yeah, I'll biggie size. Now, we know that these things are not the best for it. I should have brought in sheets. I'll get 4 hot dogs for a dollar or whatever they're special. $2, okay. If you need the specials from Sheetz, Jonathan can help you out. And they have the ginormous size too, if you need a big old drink. Now we know these things are probably not the best for us, but we go forward. I simply brought these up, that these are straightforward temptations. And I wanted to make the point that temptations are all around. Not saying the 4 for $2 deal is not a bad thing and the biggie size is not a bad thing, but these temptations are around. The temptations don't let up. The temptations keep coming. Pastor Robertson, again, highlights some things that are common for most of us. 7 common temptations that Christians face. You can be tempted to condemn yourself and beat yourself up by focusing on your past mistakes, sins, shortcomings, faults, and failures. Anybody ever do that? I think, sometimes like to beat ourselves up. Sadomasochists. You can be tempted to feel sorry for yourself. Oh, woe is me. Eeyore? Any Eeyores out there? To feel sorry for yourself. To wallow. That's a great word. To wallow in your self-pity about life's disappointments. Blaming others for the situation that you're currently in. You don't have to raise your hand. You know who you are. How about this? You can be tempted to get offended, hold grudges, walk in unforgiveness because someone treated you badly. You can face the temptation to be bitter, resentful, vengeful, to be consumed with anger and desire to get even no matter what. Oh, don't raise your hand on this one, anger management crowd. Some of us do that too, don't we? So, where are we? We beat ourselves up. We wallow. We get mad. You can be tempted to be spiritually lazy, lukewarm. Daily Bible reading and prayer are neglected. You lose your hunger and your passion for God. Living for God and serving Him is no longer a priority. Spiritually lazy, lukewarm. Who cares? Doesn't make any difference anyway. Number 5 on Pastor Robertson's list. You can be tempted to stretch the truth, to lie, to be deceptive, to gain advantage over people, to cover up your hidden sin. Again, not asking for confession. You can be tempted to compromise your integrity, your Christian testimony, by looking at things you shouldn't look at, by going to places you shouldn't go to, by associating with people, bad eggs, bad company, whom you shouldn't associate with and spend time with, influenced by this world that has a lot of darkness, you can be tempted to worry, to be anxious, to be fearful about difficult situations and circumstances and the pressures of life. You can get caught up and focused on the cares of life and the bigness of your problems instead of the greatness of your God. I will ask you on that one. How many of you are worriers? It happens to the best of us. Remember, earlier, we said you are forgiven. And you're still forgiven. Pastor Robertson goes on to say, temptation always has an attraction, or we wouldn't be drawn to it. Essentially, it's an enticement to evil. Satan's purpose for that temptation is to distract us from our relationship with God and derail us spiritually. The devil wants us off course. And the closer, I remember this so vividly as we were in the seminary. They said the closer that you walk with the Lord, the devil is right there pressing so much harder. Because the devil doesn't want the kingdom of God to flourish. So, when you feel like the devil's not very close, you're probably already too close. Devil walks beside you, doesn't want you connected with the kingdom of God. Again, it's our response which is important. Our temptations become sins when we yield to them. We must remember that the devil is a tempter. It says in Matthew 4 and 1 Thessalonians 3, in fact, this temptation is where we find the Lord today as he is on his journey that we see presented to us today in Luke, the 4th chapter. We see that for 40 days, Jesus has been tempted by the devil. It says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan. He was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. We just hear highlights of three, but he's tempted for that 40 days. During that time, Luke tells us that Jesus reached hunger. Well, isn't that certainly the case if you're in the wilderness for 40 days and haven't had anything to eat? Some of us get upset when it's been 40 minutes and we haven't eaten. Again, you know who you are. The devil says to Jesus, trying to cause a little doubt there or something, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. The devil is trying to debate Jesus, to prey upon Jesus being God, and he's tempting Jesus during his time of fatigue and hunger to try to sway Jesus into jeopardizing his lordship. The devil is pestering the Lord and trying to compromise the Lord's integrity. Jesus answers the devil and basically says, he's not worried. It is written, man does not live on bread alone. 40 days this man, Jesus, has not eaten. And yet he can say, man does not live on bread alone. And we see that the man, God, being tempted, but not falling into the temptation, stays away from sin. He is tempted, but does not sin. Well, next, the old tempter takes Jesus up to a high place, shows him the vastness of all the kingdoms of the world, and says, I will give you their authority and splendor. Well, the devil currently has this authority as reign, as the world's prince. This authority and splendor has been given to me, the devil says. And I can give it to anyone I want. So if you worship me, Jesus, this is all yours. Jesus, knowing that he has full power, not the devil, and that everything truly belongs to him, and that worship is assigned to God, Jesus does not get tricked and fall into the sin by yielding to the temptation that the devil has attractively presented to Jesus. And Jesus says, it is written, worship the Lord God and serve him only. Jesus stands strong. Well, the devil is persistent, isn't he? The devil tries again. He leads Jesus to Jerusalem, has him stand at the very tip of the temple. If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, oh, the devil knows his Bible. It is written that he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You'll be all right, Jesus. Just jump down. The angels got you. The devil is trying to use some of that pride that truly got him and gets many of us into trouble. The devil taunts Jesus, trying to bring doubt, trying to have Jesus prove himself to the devil, as many of us would do. We would not want to humble ourselves to these kinds of words. We would want the other party to see how awesome that we are. But Jesus simply goes to Scripture once again. Looking in Deuteronomy, it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Cut it out, devil! Stop testing the Lord your God. The devil leaves Jesus after all of this tempting. And in the Matthew account, it tells us that after these temptations took place, the angels indeed did come to attend Jesus, and they take care of him after the devil is gone. Jesus is taken care of by his heavenly Father. Imagine that. God is there. Jesus was tempted, indeed, yet he doesn't fall. He gives us the perfect example of obedience to his Father. In 1 Peter, the second chapter, we hear Peter tell his audience and us that because Jesus suffered for you, leaving an example that you should follow in his steps. Jesus committed no sin, no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at Jesus, he did not retaliate. He may have been tempted to. When Jesus suffered, he made no threats. Again, likely temptation for Jesus to show he's God, to come out of his suffering, to heal himself right then and there as he's at the cross and smash down those who are causing his pain. But instead, Peter says, Jesus entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Jesus entrusted himself to the Father. Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. What a beautiful passage. Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. And then Peter says, by his wounds you have been healed. Wow. Temptation came for Jesus powerfully, strongly. But Jesus just keeps honoring his Lord and God, Father, Almighty Heavenly Father. Jesus knew these words that would be given to Paul some years after he was tempted from 1 Corinthians 10. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, not if you're going to be tempted, but when you are tempted, God will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. The Lord provides for his son in the wilderness, in the desert. And he who is faithful has provided for you as well. He has provided Jesus, who is the perfect example. Jesus, who forgives us when we fail and when we fall. Jesus, who gives us provision. Jesus, who goes to our cross. Jesus, who gives us life forever. So let us ever walk with Jesus and follow his example pure. Amen. Peace, love, grace, faith, and strength through temptation be yours through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May all glory be to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, forever and forever. Amen.